You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 558, recorded on July 17th, 2018, One Barrel at a Time. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. On today's show, Sally and I continue our discussion of the book Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy, book about productivity. Chapters 9 and 10, prepare thoroughly before you begin and take it one oil barrel at a time. We have our picks as usual and some great community feedback on our switch to audio only. All that and more coming right up. Are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down.
I'm not supposed to ask why, but to repress the record button, we have to give time for Sally to sit. So
Brace
it's kind of like church, right? sit, stand. This is your new exercise routine.
And you're not supposed to ask who's responsible for that either, because you wouldn't like the answer. But we've changed things up. We're all audio, week two of all audio, and it's caused some changes and interesting configurations in the old RV office, but it is happening, and I think it's for the good.
All right. That's the end game. That's what we want
to hear. The verdict's still out, though.
Right, right. Still using the same microphone, and we got good comments, which we're going to play a few or listen to a few or hear a few in community feedback. But in general, good feedback from our first, well, I don't know if I'd call it our first audio show, but our first return to audio show. So I had fun with it. It took me probably three times as long to prepare the audio. It was supposed to save me time, but
the win-win in the situation.
That's okay, as long as our listeners are happy, right?
I think you might get a little bit better at it over time. So
don't
be discouraged.
That's the hope and the prayer. We are continuing our summer long series. Before we jump into that, we have to kind of get the travelogue update. Are you still in Ohio?
We are still in Ohio on State Line Road, right. I could throw a stone at Indiana, but in the Cincinnati area, and we have had the most amazing week. So I won't bore you with too many details, but we visited the Creation Museum twice and the Ark Encounter for a full day, and just we were amazed. It's worth the trip, folks.
The only thing I've heard about the Ark Encounter is just the size is kind of impressive. Did you get that sense?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, you get that sense when you park in the parking lot, which is, I don't know, a mile away, and you see it off in the distance, and it's huge. So it is big. It is 1.5 football fields long, 7 stories high, and then the bow of the ship is 10 stories high. So it's a big place.
Wow.
Yeah.
Smell like animals?
It didn't smell. My mom asked me that. Did it smell?
Is that right?
Did it rain on you? Did it lightning in there? It didn't smell, but it is definitely very sensory experience. They work hard to make it feel very real. So there's a lot of sounds of animals coming through the speaker system, and also sounds of rain and waves and things like that. So
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
They've put a lot of work into it. It's very impressive.
So you're making the most of your mobility.
Yeah, and somebody had actually tipped us off. Both museums are open till fairly late in the evening, 8, 9 p.m. closing time. And they're very busy in the morning, but really slack off in the afternoon. So we're able to work our normal work hours and still get there for a few hours in the evening and beat the crowds that way. So it's definitely worked out well.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right, now we should probably get to our topic after we had that review. we are, speaking of reviews, we are reading through a book, and I guess you could call it a review, Eat That Frog, 21 Different Ways to Stop Procrastinating and Get More Done. Brian Tracy is the author, And we've covered chapters 1 through 8, which brings us to chapter 9. And if you are of a mind, we would welcome anybody to follow along at home. It's kind of fun to do that. A really short read. Takes you all of 5 minutes to read a chapter. There's a workbook that goes along. And we're up to chapter 9, which is entitled Prepare Thoroughly Before You Begin. Kind of a duh title, right?
Well, right, except when you're talking about priorities and having lots to get done and eating frogs that are kind of disgusting and things you want to really procrastinate on, if you set yourself up well, you're going to have success. That's kind of the point of the chapter is, you know, clear your mind, but also clear your work environment of distractions and other things that you might be more interested in doing or more appealing to you, and get what you need to get the job done in front of you.
Mm-hmm. And did you do that this week?
Well, I have to clear my workstation all the time. It's not like you where you have an office that you leave in the evenings
space.
And come back to.
You have this multi-purpose space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I actually am kind of a neat freak when it comes to desk area and stuff. I definitely approve of this chapter and like the fact that you're supposed to be focused on just the things you need. My biggest distraction is probably my smartphone, and having it within hand's reach is a real big temptation for me. So, No, I didn't clear my work area of my smartphone. So that's a hard one, and probably one that I should be more disciplined about.
You know, this really hit home to me, and I generally am pretty tidy. I don't have papers around. I try and be as digital as possible. But I did do some cleanup, and there are distractions, and that's part of getting things done as well, that anything within eyesight that is not directly related to your activity could be a distraction, or you look at it, and you think about it, and you go, oh, I got to do something about it, or why is it here, whatever. But then I translated that also to your digital world, too, and that can be equally as distracting. Your monitor's desktop or your computer's desktop, what is on there that could be kind of in between you and getting your focus onto what should be done. If applications are, you know, difficult to find, or you've forgotten where you put a file. I mean, it goes back to all that getting ready to work without kind of going through all the navigation and the obstacles necessary to simply open up, you know, your sermon outline or your text study or your
grade book.
Whatever it is you're prepping for next week's class or your PowerPoint or, you know, whatever it is, all that stands in your way and is kind of a barrier to wanting to eat that frog.
Great point, Martin. I didn't apply it to my digital life, so good lessons, and I can definitely relate. There are projects I work on, or maybe projects that I've kind of put away. And when I have to go back and find the things associated with them, it's really challenging. So having a good filing system, having, like you said, the software on your desktop. I'm real big about minimalist desktop. I'm sure we've all seen people, and maybe some of the people that are listening have about 45 files, folders on their desktop or something like that.
Minimum. Yeah.
Sometimes mine get out of control, and I'll just kind of dedicate some time to getting it cleaned up. So right now I do have 6 items on my desktop, which is kind of a high number for me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Keeping
I just
clean
cleaned
is
it up
idea.
The other day. Yeah, and you know, one way around that, and some people I think get very adept at this, is just the ability to search and find it, so you know exactly what to search for. So that is one way to grease the skids and get to where you need to go digitally. And that's one of the nice things about using a computer, is that you have that at your disposal as well. No matter where it is, you can quickly and easily find it if you know what to search for. Kind of a gift, I mean, a talent, a skill that you build up over time. But That's another thing.
The chapter concludes with a paragraph I thought was interesting as well. It says, when you sit down with everything in front of you ready to go, assume the body language of high performance. Sit up straight, sit forward, away from the back of the chair. Carry yourself as though you were an efficient, effective, high-performing personality. And, you know, I do think about my body language or how I'm sitting in my chair most often when we're recording the podcast. I do try to like straighten my spine and be more up with my voice and things like that as we're recording the podcast. But I don't necessarily carry that over into my regular work. And I do think that's a great idea, is to just be more like, if someone were watching you now, you look like a model worker or whatever. And it's like tricking your brain into actually being that model worker. So, you know, do sit up straight and carry yourself well in your stance as you're working. I think
and
that's
it's good
important.
For you. There's a lot been written about posture and when to stand up, you know, stand up every hour and, you know, different chairs. And I think we talked, both you and I don't have any arms on our chairs that are more task chairs, which kind of, I think, encourages you to sit forward and sit up versus kind of, you know, lay back and slouch. So all those things, I think, are part of it, as well as taking care of your body, you know, eating right, getting enough sleep, all those things, I think, play into this whole scenario. So
now that we're doing all audio, we should do a slouch podcast and see if anybody notices.
That's right.
Wonder if it makes a difference.
Detected in our voice. Right. Should we go on to chapter 10?
Chapter 10. Take it one oil barrel at a time. Need illustration. He talked about driving through some desert. Was it the Sahara?
Sahara Desert.
Yeah. And that it's
500 miles
across
of desert. You have nothing, no landmarks, no nothing.
Nothing to break it up or make it look different in any way. So at some point, I'm trying to see, the French had marked the track with black 50-gallon oil drums every 5 kilometers, which is exactly the distance to the horizon formed by the curvature of the earth. So in the daytime, you could always see 2 oil barrels, the one you had just passed and the one 5 kilometers ahead of you. And that's exactly what you need to stay on course. I thought that was a great illustration. And the point of it all is you just need to focus on that next step. You need to take a small bite and eat that frog, but don't be worried about the full long distance that you have to go. That can be overwhelming.
Don't worry about 2 barrels ahead, just the next one. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's why we have 5K races. That's kind of the, you know, that's the horizon. That's the, that's what you can see. That was an interesting thing. And I think all of us, this is a great lesson for all of us, where a lot of our tasks are really projects. So they're multi-steps and you really can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, we've talked about, you know, setting goals and what is done look like and, you know, what's your objective, those kinds of things. And that was actually, you know, part of, you know, a whole chapter in our book about project management. But ultimately you can't, you get paralyzed with, you know, trying to eat the whole, you know, all the frogs, maybe, you know, versus just the one that's ahead of you and, you know, one step at a time. Now, the trick is to determine what that next one is and what the appropriate sequence is and, you know, block the others out. But I think this was a good illustration.
Yeah. The chapter starts with a catchy little saying, by the yard, it's hard, but inch by inch, anything's a cinch. Thought that was clever and an encouragement. And, you know, if you think of it in retrospect, let's say you want to get your college advanced degree or you want to lose weight or whatever your goal is that seems like, oh, it would take me years to do that. But if you look backwards at something that happened just maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago or something, it seems like yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you had been investing that time all those 3 years, you'd be there already. So right. It's all in the perspective, things that are far away. You just have to not focus on and get overwhelmed and discouraged by that.
Yep. One quality task at a time is really kind of my takeaway. So, I mean, that's been kind of the lead in. You know, make sure you're picking tasks that have, you know, high value, high future value, but, you know, one at a time, and they add up, you know, over time, and you get to where you want to go. You make it across the desert, so to speak.
Very encouraging.
Very good. So that's chapters 9 and 10. So we're probably about at the almost the halfway point, 21 great ways to stop. I'm assuming there's 21 of these, and we've been through 10, so almost at the halfway point. So we're taking our one barrel at a time.
Or two chapters at a time.
Yes, so to speak, right? All right. Shall we move along to the next segment in our show?
The next segment in our show, for summertime at least, is our Picks of the Week. And my pick of the week is Twitter-centric this week. I was over on Twitter the other day. I guess the day must have been July 12th, last Thursday. And I just happened to notice a trending topic, a trending hashtag, was Summer Learning Day. So apparently July 12th was designated as Summer Learning Day. And there was just all kinds of Twitter conversation around keeping kids engaged and not letting their brains go to sleep over the summer, and tons of great resources. So, if you're running summer programs, you certainly could take advantage of this. But if you're a parent to a child, you could find great resources online to engage them. Or if you're in the teaching realm and you want to take advantage of some of these great ideas during the regular school year, some of them certainly could be adapted for use in the classroom as well, or summer programs, or all kinds of things. There was another hashtag that many of the posts included. It was hashtag Keep Kids Learning, which is just kind of a running hashtag where people are always sharing good ideas about things that are happening to keep kids learning. And I'll have links in the show notes to the search items on both of those hashtags, just overflowing with goodness of ideas and encouragement to our teachers and parents that are listening.
Very nice. And we're going to have a little bit of community feedback that plays nicely into that from our Google Schools folks. They have a book recommendation that fits nicely in with that as well. My pick of the week is a iOS application called Workflow. And actually, this is interesting because this application is probably going away very soon because Apple bought them and they've incorporated it into their latest operating system, version 12, which should be out this fall. So I don't hesitate to bring it up because any work you do in it, any workflows you craft in here will actually still work once version 12 comes out, because they'll just incorporate it right into their system. But Workflow, I kind of equate this app like a macro builder back in the day, back in the early days of operating systems, and in things like WordPerfect and other tools, you could create macros, which would kind of build or string together tasks, things that you could do on a computer, and one would kick off another and maybe feed it information, and that would do something else. And I mean, you can do that in Excel, those kinds of things, just kind of automation helpful things. And Workflow does that with all the things that you can do in iOS. So as an example, I just created one the other day called Heading Home. And that's a four-step task for me. And my intent was to text my wife that I'm on my way home and then load up directions to home. Not that I didn't know how to get home, but so I'd like to kind of have my GPS going for traffic things too. So if there's a backup or whatever, or something gets rerouted, my navigation app will help me out with that. So four steps, one of them, so just as an example, how you would create this one is there is a task or a P, I forget what they call these things, actions. an action called just text. And so in the text action, I just put what I wanted to text my wife, and I just simply said heading home. And then the next action was to send that message. So that would be the send message action. So I just need to say who the recipient is and what tool to use. In this case was the Messages app on iOS. So it would load it up, and all I have to do is hit send. And then once I've hit send, the next action immediately springs into action, which is loading up my address and then sending it to the screen in a navigation mode, so to show directions. So all of that really happens automatically. I just touch one button, and then I send my message, and then everything else kind of gets chained together. Workflow kind of shows this to you on the screen, so it's kind of like a screen replay. So to load one and load another and load another and load another. What I understand from version 12, once this gets incorporated, that's kind of all happened behind the scenes, so you won't see kind of the under the covers kind of stuff. It'll be a lot sleeker and work a little bit better. But there's all kinds of things you can automate. Uploading photos, playing a playlist, logging your weight, logging how much water you've taken, finding different things. There's all kinds of built-in ones, creating PDFs out of documents, finding coffee shops, all kinds of stuff here. It's a free app, and with iOS 12, it will remain free, but it'll be built in. And one of the things that they're kind of building on top of this is its interaction with Siri. So Siri is the digital assistant on an iPhone or iPad so that you can launch these applications with just your voice, or I'm assuming even interact with them so that you can start something and then Siri may pop up and ask you a question or have you make a decision, and then you can string these actions together as well. I think I mentioned this the other day. One other workflow that I've done is play daily devotion, and I can Siri actually will do this for me if I say the right incantation. But basically, I strung a few actions together that would go out and load up the right URL for the audio of the Wells Daily Devotion, which always is a predictable URL string. It's always today's date, or the date of whatever devotion that you want to play. So for instance, today is July 17th. So I think the URL string is something like 2018.0717.mp3. So if you can predict that, you can build the query string and then say, open this in the audio player or open this in Safari, and it'll just start playing. So kind of a hands-free experience. So all kinds of things, you know, the sky's the limit on what you can do with workflow. And that's, again, only for iPhone, iPad. I guess there's kind of an Apple Watch thing, too. I'm not sure how good that is. I haven't tried that. But that is my pick of the week.
Pretty cool stuff, Martin. You definitely take advantage of all kinds of technology by stringing them together.
There for you. It's getting a lot of press lately because of the Apple buying them and integrating them into the operating system. So if you want to get in on that macro automation stuff, give it a shot. Shall we move along?
Yeah, just one quick mention. If you're not an iOS person, you probably can do similar things with If This Then That.
It's a little bit different. Yeah, but If This Then That actually can connect outside services, so not just things that are on your iPhone, but you know, different things like Gmail and home automation stuff, even Alexa, et cetera. So it's pretty cool.
Yep, lots of options. All right. You mentioned earlier in the show that we were going to get to some community feedback about our audio-only change to WellsTech, and we definitely heard some things from folks. We heard positive things, as a matter of fact. We didn't get any angry feedback, so that's a good sign.
They kept to themselves.
Yeah. It seems that people were excited not only for the fact that we were doing audio, but also for the improved audio quality, which makes me wonder how bad we really sounded before.
That's right. That's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Right. Don't want to know the answer to that question. We heard from Leslie Bergman. She said the audio quality of your current podcast is superior to previous episodes. Particularly noticeable is the balanced volume between Martin and Sally. Previously, I had to adjust the volume frequently to compensate for the differing volume between podcast hosts speaking. So hopefully that's the case again this week for you, Leslie, and as we move forward.
Yeah, and one of the reasons we didn't have a lot of control over that was we were using a single recording mechanism, which was basically Google Hangouts. So we loaded up a Google Hangouts, and then we just pulled the audio from there, which combined all the audio. And I guess I could have tried to take the time and separate that out and, you know, increase volume and level it and normalize it, but not a lot of flexibility. This way we have a lot more. So I'm glad that is an improvement.
Yeah. We had a similar comment from Cindy Krieger, who's a longtime listener, and we had a voicemail from listener Alan Bunt. Did you want to play that voicemail, Martin?
Let's give it a shot.
All right.
Good morning, Wells Tech, Martin and Sally. This is Alan Bunt from Good Shepherd Lutheran in Wisconsin Rapids. Longtime listener. Just want to say I applaud your decision to go back to just audio mostly. The quality of the recording or broadcast was fantastic. I know, Martin, you did a review of the ATR microphone. The Audio Technica microphone, and I assume you're both using it for that podcast. Fantastic quality. I'm considering purchasing one for myself. As you can tell, I'm driving down the road, which is where I always listen to you, and the video podcasts were always a little bit hard to follow because obviously I can't watch video while I'm driving, and it was hard to see, you know, visualize your screen captures and screen sharing. So listening to you describe them without having a picture is better, in my opinion. So keep it up, the good work, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Great
Thank
to hear
you,
your
Alan.
Voice.
Absolutely. Yep. Very good. I do not, just as a follow-up to that, I normally do not use the ATR 2100 microphone. I use a Heil PR40 microphone, which is an XLR base. It's not a USB-based mic. I do use the ATR 2100 when I am not in my office, so I've got that kind of as a travel mic because I don't always know what conditions I will have. So that's usually in my bag. So if I'm on the road, I'll be using that as well. So, but thanks for the kind feedback.
I just kind of switched to the ATR beginning last week. I was using a Yeti Blue microphone in the past, but I'm kind of in travel mode these days, and I don't know what kind of conditions I'll have. So having That's the right. extra directional mic in play makes a big difference for the recording quality for my circumstances.
Does, yep. And different technology. One is a dynamic cardioid mic, and one is a condenser mic. And the condenser mic, the Yeti, does pick up a lot of that background noise. It's maybe a little fuller sound, but it definitely picks up, you know, the ventilation and the hail on the the RV roof. And yes. Exactly. Yes. So thank you for the voicemail. If you, that's a great reminder that if you want to leave a voicemail like Alan did, you simply need to go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. And on the right side, I believe, is it a blue button, Sally? It says
it
something like leave Send a voicemail or something. Send voicemail. So, and that comes to us via email as an MP3 attachment. Kind of cool technology.
Mm-hmm. We heard from listener Perry Lund, another longtime listener. They were coming out of the woodworks this week, Martin. And we actually have a couple of things to feature from Perry. First of all, he commented on the news that you shared about the Surface Go, the lower end version of the Surface computer that's kind of targeting and competing with the Chromebook iPad market for education. So priced at $400. He said he would say the Surface Go is, competes with the premium education devices, and is not a Chromebook or iPad killer. They fill different niches.
Yeah.
He said he'd recommend the Surface Go, much better than the Surface 3 it replaces. It competes nicely in the educational market where students need touch and pen input. He says he's testing an HP 360 touch device and a Dell 3189 touch device, and he hopes to try the Surface Go. So all of those are kind of in a similar price range, but the Go is bigger, better screen, detachable keyboard. HP and Dell are education ruggedized. They're rugged, I guess is what he means, but I never saw that word ruggedized before.
Yep. Surface that's Go. That's a thing, ruggedized.
Uses Windows Hello face recognition. Dell and HP do not. For OneNote, Class Notebook, I think all three work great for students. So.
Yeah, Perry's a big OneNote class notebook guy, which is really interesting to follow because that's a space I haven't played in. But I used when I just finished teaching a course at MLC for online, and I didn't use the classroom feature, but I used a OneNote notebook to share materials, which was kind of cool. Made OneNote pages public and. Let the students have at it. So cool. Nice. Thank you, Perry, for your feedback. Appreciate that.
He also had a tweet recently and a question. It was kind of going off of someone else's tweet. Microsoft tweeted, "We're curious what keeps you motivated when it comes to pedagogy and ed tech while your students are away on break." Perry asked, what drives you to make your God-given talents better?" So a nice twist on Microsoft's question and something to consider, especially in the teaching realm, but also in all types of ministry and personal productivity as well as what's your motivation and God's given you these things to work with. You know, how are you using them and making them better?
Yep, very good. One last piece of community feedback. I referenced it earlier in the show from the Google Plus group, Google Schools. Matt Notling shared a tweet. He said, check out Shake Up Learning's tweet. Shake Up Learning is a book by, actually it's more than a book, but there, you know, one of the pieces is a book called by Casey Bell called Shake Up Learning, Practical Ideas to Move Learning from Static to Dynamic. And there's all kinds of pieces to this. There's a book club, so to speak. There's a six-week book study that actually has already started July 5th and August 9th. There's a Shake Up Learning Facebook group that they meet regularly, discussions on Thursdays. All kinds of resources here. Sounds like maybe worth looking at if you're looking for maybe something to review this summer and a little bit of professional development. So Shake Up Learning book study. Thanks, Matt, for sharing that.
Good stuff.
Sally, video of the week. I think you're quite proud of this pick.
I wouldn't go that far, Martin. That's a bit of an overstatement. But maybe to share with our listeners a little bit of background, the video slot is one that we sometimes struggle to fill. We typically let things kind of fall out from our discussion, and we always have the ability to go find a great Koine video to share. But some weeks we struggle with what exactly to fill that slot with. We want to take advantage of all the great video communication that's out there. Well, this week was one of those weeks where there was a bit of a lull and the spot was open and up for grabs. And I had been actually wanting to try out Adobe Spark. That's an app we've talked about on the show, Martin, that's available for mobile devices and free to use to create video. And I pretty much just wanted to share a little taste of my ARC and Creation Museum experience and thought Adobe Spark was a great way to do that. I could learn about how the app worked and also share. So I have a really brief video. It's less than a minute long, just with a few images and video clips from our ARC and Creation Museum experience. That the video, though, was created with Adobe Spark. It was quick and easy to pick up on. They have an introductory video, again, right at a minute long, so you can learn pretty much everything you need to know in less than a minute and then be off and running. And I really like that it allows you to pull in photos from all different places. I have consistently been storing all my photos on Google Photos, and that was one of the links available to me, so I could just bring up my Google Photos, select the pictures I wanted to include, and very quickly generate this video. The only downside I would say is I saved the video to my phone photos library, and then from there I uploaded it to YouTube, and the quality on YouTube is not the greatest. Like, it's definitely degraded from the quality of my images that I included in the video. So I'm not sure if that's something in the upload process that, you know, I didn't have enough Wi-Fi or powerful enough internet connection to get a high def kind of movie up there or what, but that would be my only complaint with Adobe Spark, and it's a first timer's effort, so maybe if I went back and tweaked some settings or something, I would get a better quality output. But win-win for our listeners, because I know they're dying to see my ARC experience, and it's so high quality. But it also, you know, allows you to get an idea of what Adobe Spark can do for you.
Very good.
Yeah.
Visiting the ARC Encounter and Creation Museum by Sally Draper.
Yours truly.
All right. Next week, we're going to continue Eating That Frog, chapters 11 and 12. Upgrade your key skills and identify your key constraints. I like those. So join us next week for more frog eating, and hopefully this is beneficial to you. And again, if you'd like to contribute to the show, lots of ways to do that. WellsTech.wells.net, as we mentioned, is our show notes page. You can always email us, WellsTech@wells.net. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Digo, Google,
Instagram.
We're all over the place. So participate in the conversation, and it doesn't have to be about the book. It can be about anything. I'd love to hear from y'all. So thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.